Well, it's quite fortunate that it's Palm Sunday. We, of course, turn the heater off, but we're waiting to have the air conditioner switched on. I believe we have that scheduled, but we should have had the kids stand there with the palms and kind of air condition us. Well, thank you, Josh and Eric, for your presentation. We're very thankful to all of you and to the whole CMA and to everything that you guys do. We're amazed by the gospel presentation that you guys give and just the faithfulness, and we're so thankful for that. Thank you for coming and sharing that with us. And I trust that we will all be very generous in our giving and, of course, in our remembrance of you and our prayers. Well, let's briefly go to the scriptures. This is, of course, a part of our worship. We do this every time that we come together because this is what the Lord has commanded us to do, to hear from him in his word. So return with me to Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. We've already read it, and so I'm not going to read it again. But as you're turning, I'll go ahead and kind of set us in where we need to be with prayer. Oh, our God, our faithful God, you love us so. Your love for us is infinite. It's beyond anything that we could ever comprehend. Strengthen us, O Lord. Teach us the love of Christ, its breadth and its length and its height and its depth. Enable us to see and to respond and give glory and praise. Enable us to imitate through the Spirit this love that you have shown us. Oh God, open our eyes today. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Glorify yourself. Exalt yourself through this, that we would see the glory of Christ, the wonders of our salvation. Let us leave here astonished at you, amazed. Blessed is your name. Bless us, O God. We praise you. We exalt you. In Jesus' name, amen. See him on the road to Jerusalem. A small crowd surrounds him, listening to every word. And as he approaches the city of Jericho, still 18 miles away from Jerusalem, he heals a blind man named Bartimaeus. Who is this man? This is Jesus, the son of David, whose mercy never fails. And the crowd around him then swells with astonished people, all giving glory to God. And he enters into Jericho and goes to eat with a tax collector named Zacchaeus. Who is this man? This is the Son of Man who has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Look at verse 1, Matthew 21. Now they're drawing near to Jerusalem, and he came to Bethphage, which is a village on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, just about a mile and a half outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them.' And he will send them at once." Who is this man who doesn't even have a donkey of his own on which to ride into the city? Who is this man who so confidently sends his disciples to fetch a donkey and her colt for him, so sure that the owner would be compelled to lend them simply because the Lord needs them? This man is Jesus. He is the Lord. He is the Son of Man who has come to seek and to save that which is lost. This is the Son of David. This is the Holy One, the Majestic One. This is the glory of God. Finally, the time had come. Finally, Jesus was to present himself to the people. And Jesus, we see, intentionally prepared to enter Jerusalem, deliberately presenting himself as Christ the King to the Jewish nation there in Jerusalem, while some 2 million Jews were swelling the city for the feast of Passover. And Jesus did this at this time for 4 reasons. Reason number 1, he did this to fulfill the scripture. Look at verse 4. In John chapter 16, actually, it says that the disciples did not understand these things at first. They didn't understand what was going on. They didn't get exactly what Jesus was doing. But after Jesus was glorified, John says, then they remembered those things. So Matthew, looking back, sees that, look now at verse 4, this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. And in normal apostolic fashion, in quoting from the Old Testament, Matthew actually sneaks in another reference besides the one that he quotes. Before he quotes Zechariah 9:9, he alludes to Isaiah 62:11. And Isaiah 62:11 says this, "Say to the daughter of Zion." And that's what Matthew starts with. That's the only place in the Old Testament that that phrase occurs. "Say to the daughter of Zion." That's in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11. The entire thing says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, lo, your salvation comes." And they will call them the redeemed of the Lord. What does Matthew say? Who does Matthew say that the Son of Man is? He is the one who brings salvation. He is the one who has come to redeem a people unto the Lord God. Matthew alludes to Isaiah 62:11 about a Savior coming to bring salvation, to redeem the people. And then he quotes out of Zechariah 9:9. "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Who is this man? He is none other than a king. And not just a king, he is the king. He is the king who has been prophesied since time immemorial. He is the one who has come to save his people from their sins. He is the King of Kings. And has he come as a warrior king? Has he come on a horse victoriously? No, he's coming humble, mounted on a donkey. This king is humble, entering peaceably into the city of Jerusalem. Why? Why would Jesus enter the city this way? Well, to fulfill the scriptures. And not just to fulfill the scriptures, but number 2, to look the part. Look at verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. Who is this man? One whose every word can be trusted and whose omniscience is astonishing. Do you think the disciples ever got used to that? Go into the city and you'll find a donkey. And if somebody asks you, just say the Lord has need of it and they'll let you have it. Do you think they ever got used to that? Well, look at verse 7. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on him, and he sat on them. Just as his fathers, David and Solomon, had ridden donkeys into the city, so would he. The donkey was a royal mount, but it was a royal mount that was used in times of peace. Who is this man? He is one of peace. He is one whose strength is sheathed. That's the idea of gentleness. His strength, it's not that he's without strength, but he has that strength under control. That strength is sheathed, as it were. And as he rode, look at verse 8, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Now in 2 Kings 9:13, the Israelites spread their cloaks for King Jehu. This is something that they did to welcome their kings. And so who is this man who is being welcomed as a king in such a manner? Now also, in 142 BC, the people spread palms on the road in order to welcome Simon Maccabeus after their triumph over the Seleucids. And according to 1 Maccabees 13:51, Simon entered into Jerusalem with a chorus of praise and the waving of palm branches. Who is this who is welcomed in the same way as Simon Maccabeus, who led a revolt to deliver Jerusalem from her enemies? Why would Jesus enter the city in this way? First of all, to fulfill the scriptures. Second of all, to look the part. And third, we also see to increase the fervor. Look at verse 9. More people have been attracted to this wild display. And now the crowd had become crowds. It goes from singular crowd to plural crowds as people are added into the mix. And they're now surrounding this man. They're in front of him and they're behind him as he's making his way up to Jerusalem in this very strange royal procession. Look at verse 9. The crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Who is this man who is welcomed with cries for deliverance? Who is he that the crowd is quoting from this messianic psalm, hoping for deliverance? Who is this man to whom they are shouting, "Hosanna, save us!" Why are they calling him the Son of David? A son of David hadn't ridden as king into the city in over 600 years. Was it finally happening? Why are they blessing him as the one who comes in the name of the Lord? Could this be him? The one they've been waiting for? The crowds are swelling. The excitement is growing. The fervor is palpable. Why would Jesus enter the city in this way? To fulfill the scriptures, to look the part, and to increase the fervor, and to spread the word. That's number 4, to spread the word. Look at verse 10. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. That's a bad translation. That's not even close to what the word means. It's not that the whole city was stirred up. It's that the whole city was shaken. That's a very strong word. The whole city was shaken to its foundation. Jesus' entry that day in Jerusalem caused that city to shake. And it was certainly rumbling with the excitement of the cries of Hosanna by the crowds. The rest in the crowds who didn't know what was going on, they either couldn't see the man on the donkey, or they were from out of town, they were pilgrims, and they didn't know about Jesus, they'd never seen him, and they were wondering who this was. Or maybe they'd been living under a rock for 3 years, I don't know. But they were saying, "Who is this? Indeed. Who is this who has caused such a frenzy by his appearance? Who is this who is being hailed as a revolutionary, as a deliverer, as the King, the Christ, the Son of David promised long ago? Who is this with no entourage, with no chariots, no carts of treasure, no harem of beautiful women? Who is this with no stately officers, no royal attendants, no beautiful robes, no menagerie? Who is this who is being greeted as a man of war, yet is riding a mount of peace, a donkey?" Verse 11, the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Who is this? You know of him. He has taught in synagogues everywhere about the kingdom of God. He has taught us everywhere. He has healed many. He's even raised people to life again. He has kept us up to now in suspense. And now we've been in suspense long enough, but they say today is the day. Today is the day. Why would Jesus enter the city in this way? To fulfill the scriptures? To look the part? To increase the fervor? To spread the word? Now at this point, we must make a couple of observations. Observation number one, as soon as Jesus enters the city, there is a surprising twist. You know the story. You've read it enough. You almost read it, and you don't think about the twist anymore. Jesus doesn't march to the seat of power in Jerusalem. Jesus doesn't march to Pilate's praetorium. He doesn't march to Herod's palace. He doesn't go to make war with the powers that be in Jerusalem. Instead, he made war with the false religion in the temple. He goes out and he drives out all of those who are selling and making profits. And he gets into arguments with the religious leaders. Who is this man who drives out all of those selling and making profits in the Lord's house and gets himself into big arguments with the leaders of Israel? Our second observation, there wasn't just an immediate surprising twist. We also have to see that this is a challenge to the impure religion of the Jews. Remember that over the centuries, the Old Testament religion, which was pure in the sight of God, given by God on the mountain Sinai thousands of years before, you remember that it had been perverted. It had been made impure with all sorts of legalistic demands by the Pharisees, rules upon rules upon rules. But Jesus enters into the city, and this is the final catalyst that makes them plot together in order to kill him. They've already been looking to do it. They've wanted to kill him for years. Anything to silence him, but they've never been able. He's too slippery. He's too smart. People keep coming back to them and saying, nobody's ever spoken like this man. But soon they're going to take the opportunity and they're going to arrest him in the midst of the night and hold 6 sham trials. And they're going to accuse him and charge him on hyped up charges, actually one, that of blasphemy, because he dares to say to them, the Son of Man, you will see him coming in the clouds with the glory of the Father. Hyped up, wrong, false charges. Who is this man that they're so set on murdering him? We need to make a third observation. The people were right in their excited and enthusiastic welcome of Jesus into the city as Christ the King. They were right. They were wrong, however, because Jesus didn't come as Christ the King to deliver them from the Romans through revolution. No, he had come as Christ the King to deliver them from sin through his substitutionary death. He had not come to slay the empires of the world. He had come to make peace between the people and God. Who is this man who came to die as the sin bearer? We need to make a fourth observation. This day, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, in what we call the triumphal entry, this day was the day that was commanded in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, that the Passover lambs were to be selected and set apart to be sacrificed later. That day, some 260,000 lambs would be set apart for slaughter. There were about 2 million people in Jerusalem then. And this all comes out of the historical records. 260,000 lambs. And now on this day, God is presenting his, the lamb who would take away the sins of the world, not just for Israel, the sins of the whole world, everyone who calls on him. Who is this man? He is the spotless and blameless Lamb of God. So we need to ask, why did Jesus intentionally and purposefully ride into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey? To fulfill the scriptures? To look the part? To increase the fervor? And to spread the word? He is indeed the Christ. He is indeed the Messiah long promised. He is indeed the King. In fact, he is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. And he had come at the foretold time in order to lay down his life as a ransom for his people. He had not come to make war. He had come to make peace between God and men. And beloved, through Christ Jesus our Lord, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All because he rode into Jerusalem that day to present himself as the king who had come to die in our place. All because he obediently and faithfully went to the cross 5 days later. All because he offered himself once and for all for the atonement for our sins. Because of Christ and Christ alone, we have atonement for our sins. Listen to this. We have peace with God. No condemnation awaits us. None at all. It was all poured out on Jesus. We have peace with God. No wrath awaits us. None at all. It was all poured out on him. No eternal death. He died that death instead of us. No lake of fire. No, depart from me. I never knew you. That's not for us who are in Christ Jesus. He rescued us. He purchased us. He reconciled us to God through his own blood. Who is this man? This is Christ, the Savior, who now holds out his hand to anyone who does not know him and urges them to come. Come now. Today is the day of salvation. His burden is light. Come, find rest. Find peace with God through Jesus Christ. I urge you, believe in him. Today is the day of salvation. And soon this man, Jesus, the Son of Yahweh, he will return. And on that day, he will break the nations with a rod of iron, and he will shatter them like earthenware. This is the man whom all people are commanded to take refuge in. Psalm chapter 2. The man whose wrath will soon be kindled. Be found in him, my friend. And one day, all creation will cry out to the city gates. Psalm 24, verses 7 through 8. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. And when he returns, John tells us in Revelation 19, he will not be riding a donkey. He will be riding on a white horse, waging war in righteousness. He is faithful and true. Who is this man? This is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Father, bless you. Thank you for Christ, your Son, who entered into Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago in order to present himself as Christ the King, who would come as the servant of God to die for the people. Thank you that he has died for us. O Lord, make us astonished by this. Let this not be old news, but let it continue to be the best news that we've ever heard. Father, if there's anyone who's not heard this news, may they come to you. May they believe in Christ, confessing their sins, and be saved. Oh, how we love you. Bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.